Hey, we're back here on Downtown Basketball Talk on a Tuesday afternoon. Means we welcome in from Boston Sports Journal on the Locked On Celtics podcast, our friend John Corrales. Hello there, John.
Hey, how's it going, man?
Going well, thanks. Even better for you. I know it was tough. It was all in the same company there, but you eked out a narrow opening round victory over Sean McAdam in Downtown Madness.
Well, it's tough to go, you know, against a new teammate. I want to make sure that everybody knows this is all about the respect for the OG guy, you know, who was there at Boston Sports Journal before me. I'm very humbled by the win, but I'm sure Sean also deserved the win. I'm very happy to be moving on, though.
There are no losers in this. No losers at all. Now, I can't say the same about the NBA.
No, I'm kidding.
last night it was interesting. Missing some key guys. Yeah, lost the game, but 126 points on the board. Are you seeing, you're seeing some adjustments that might be a positive sign for this team?
Yeah, I think the offense, without the double bigs, without Tristan Thompson in there, is starting to flow a little bit more. I think we're starting to see that going with one big, and that big either being Robert Williams or Daniel Tice, that's allowing the Celtics with four guys who can space the floor the opportunity to cut and move and use screens and to get those bigs that are out there to screen and rescreen and just play a little bit more free-flowing offense. That's allowing a little bit more backdoor cutting. That's allowing a lot more motion. And over the past couple of days, we've seen the ball move. They've had over two games an offensive rating up over 118, which would be better than the Brooklyn Nets if it maintained over an entire season. So obviously, the it's just two games, but it is indicative that over those two games, and one of them without Jason Tatum, without Kemba Walker, those have shown that the Celtics just adjustments on offense could help them really fix one element of their game. You know, like that's if you're struggling on both ends and you have a mediocre defense and a mediocre offense and you can make an adjustment that turns one of those things into elite, then the Celtics have at least something cooking.
We're talking with John Corrales here on Downtown. The trade deadline coming up Thursday. I don't even like seeing these words on my screen, Marcus Smart trade rumor.
Yeah, this is interesting, and it depends on, I guess it might depend on which way the trade winds are blowing, so to speak. So Matt Moore of Action Sports Network reported yesterday that Marcus Smart seems to be involved in the framework of a deal. However, he did just tweet that right now, at this moment, he doesn't believe that Marcus Smart ends up in that deal if it happens. So, you know, where does this land? And it really depends on what do the Celtics feel about the future of Marcus Smart in Boston? Do they think that he's going to be too expensive? Do they think that the injuries that he's suffered are going to just be something that's constant? Do they think that the decision-making sometimes that gets a little too, I don't know, confident, let's say, in some of the shots that he's taking and in the decisions that he's making, is that just going to continue to permeate, and is that going to be something that ends up hurting the team as he starts to age? So if you start to think that he might get too expensive and so on and so forth, then yeah, I can see them exploring him in a deal. However, giving him up in a deal now, when they don't have to, even if they're open to trading him, does that mean this is the right deal to do it? I don't think so. And I just don't think the overall Aaron Gordon and Evan Fournier thing makes much sense. But I've heard justifications for it, and it'd be one heck of a leap for Danny Ainge and that front office to make in order to get what would ultimately be cap flexibility moving forward.
Speaking of Aaron Gordon, what's your best guess? Where do you think he ends up?
Well, I mean, Boston still seems to be in the front runner seat. It just depends on how broad a deal they end up wanting to make. If it's just Aaron Gordon, then the Celtics have multiple ways they can get him. They could use the traded player exception and just move draft capital. If they want to make a move for a player, they can send Tristan Thompson and whatever. Maybe you send one pick for Aaron Gordon, and the second pick plus Tristan Thompson is for them to be like, hey, you know, you got to take Tristan off our hands, because you're starting to hear some of the rumblings that Tristan Thompson is not exactly popular in the locker room, and it seems that if you connect certain dots, that him being in the health and safety protocol may stem from a certain violation and attending events that he might not have been, he shouldn't have been at. So there are ways for the Celtics to get Aaron Gordon, and if they want to attach some assets to get him and move Tristan Thompson, solve maybe a couple of problems, then I can see them wanting to do that.
Has Jeff Teague solidified his role on the team?
I don't want to say that necessarily. I mean, he was great against Memphis, and you know, that's a real nice thing to have. And if he can continue to play better, you maybe just say, hey, he's rounding into some shape, rounding into some form that makes him exactly what he was supposed to be, that end of the bench guard that you can lean on once in a while if things aren't going great, and on nights where Kemba's not playing. Like if he's, I don't expect him to drop 26 points a night, but if he's going to play moving forward a lot more like he's playing recently, then I think that's fine. You can keep him. If you lose him or if you move him, not a big deal. There are other guys you can get on the buyout market for sure. But it's nice to see him come back. It's nice to see him kind of bounce back and have these good performances where at the beginning it was a real struggle for him.
It's been a frustrating season. I see some fans and hear some fans who are ready to write this season off, but it seems a little premature. There's a lot of basketball to go, and all you have to do is get into the playoffs, and it's a new season.
Yeah, and you know, obviously you don't want it to be like too rough a road when you get into the playoffs, but this is a weird season. And obviously, if you look at the standings, there is significant separation between the top of the standings, where Philly, Brooklyn, and Milwaukee are all separated by a game and a half. And then 4 through 8, which is where the Boston Celtics are, is one game. So one win against Milwaukee and a loss to Miami, and all of a sudden the Celtics vault into the fourth seed. So they have time. And I don't want to write the Celtics off, because when you watch them in a vacuum, yes, it's difficult. But hey, if they can move Thompson at the deadline, and if they can bring in some help, and it doesn't cost them too much, it doesn't cost them Marcus Smart, if they can figure this out a little bit, and this offense starts to click, then maybe the defense follows suit a little bit. And the defense doesn't have to jump up to top five, but maybe it goes from 22 to 12 at some point, and that offense becomes a top five offense. And now all of a sudden you're talking about something, because defenses are pretty terrible in the NBA right now anyway. So get that offense humming, take advantage of everybody's bad defense, and you never know. I mean, it's, like I said, it's a weird season. COVID hits, guys fall into protocols, injuries are happening. Things that do not seem, paths that do not seem apparent right now, could end up opening themselves up down the road. And you just don't want to count a team out with 29 games left in the season.
Looks like the NBA may be on the verge of making themselves a whole lot of money with their new TV deal.
Yeah, that's going to be something. Like in a few years when this deal is up, they're talking about a deal that's been reported that could be triple what this deal is. So this year, under normal circumstances, not necessarily this year, but under normal circumstances, they're splitting about $2.5 billion. This is talking about bringing in $7 to $8 billion per year. So the the players, half of that would be about $3.5 to $4 billion. So right now it's about $1 billion. So now you're triple, maybe quadruple that. Think about the salaries that are going to be out there. These guys like Russell Westbrook making $40 million a year. They're going to be guys in this NBA, could be like Jason Tatum for all we know, whose next contract could start at a number somewhere around $100 million. That is just insane to think of. And it's going to be interesting to see how that affects the next collective bargaining agreement, because the last time the league and the union wanted to, they disagreed on cap smoothing, to have a huge jump like that, that could reshape the landscape of the NBA. And don't think that teams aren't looking down that road and seeing that, and you're going to see contracts kind of match that timeline if they can. Players are going to want to structure their contracts so they are going to be free agents in that first year. It's going to have a wide-ranging impact even before whatever that CBA, whenever that new deal kicks in. We're going to start seeing that impact soon.
Billion here, billion there. Pretty soon we're talking about big money.
Yeah, I'm sure that these guys are pretty close to taking those insurance jobs like Tommy Heinsohn used.
Yeah, no question about that. John Corrales, Boston Sports Journal, the Locked On Celtics podcast. John, thanks as always. We'll catch you again next week.
You got it. Thanks.